God, we just want to ask you to hang with us tonight in the cafe and ask for your strength, your wisdom, your courage, really, God, to live for you, to make a difference for you, to make an impact in our world for you. God, sometimes we may feel like we're kind of small or we may not make a big impact, and maybe we want to or maybe we don't. But God, I pray that by the end of tonight that you would convict our hearts and that you would help us to make a difference for you, even in small ways and possibly in some big ways. God, we need you. We ask for your help this week. Would you help us with classes and relationships and family stuff? And we give it all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, when I was in high school, pretty early on, kind of like freshman, sophomore year, I got involved in a youth group at a church and got excited about my faith. Like the summer I went to Young Life Camp. I don't know if any of you guys in Young Life at all. Okay, I went to Windy Gap Camp out in New York. And it was like the summer between my 8th and 9th grade year, so I was going to be a freshman. And I felt like God really grabbed a hold of my heart at this camp. I remember going out after one of the sessions at night and praying to God under the stars one night, just laying out there staring up at the sky and looking at the stars and being like, all right, God, here I am. Just use me. Use me in some way. Just use me. And I kind of surrendering my will and my heart a little bit. Because up until then, it had kind of just been me. And I hadn't really, like, given God full control. So going into my freshman year in high school, I was just like, I had no idea what exactly God was going to do with that prayer. But I really meant it. And that year, God was like, sweet, let's go. Hee-haw, hit the gas pedal. And that year, my sister and I started a Bible study at our school. She was a senior, and I was a freshman. And we started meeting in the library. And there may have been three of us or four of us, not a very big group. And over time, that group grew. And I think I shared with you before, I was a little bit nervous about my faith and wasn't confident about who I was. And sometimes I'd wear a shirt that talked about God, and sometimes I wouldn't because I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian. And so I struggled with that, but got more comfortable with it over time. And God's like, look, I'm going to use you on your campus. I'm going to use your life to touch people. And over time, our Bible study group grew and grew and grew. And had a chance to actually have our Bible study group in the yearbook as like an official club, which was like really awesome. That was like my junior and senior year, which was amazing. We got to share the message of Christ over the PA system on the morning announcements, which was like unheard of. It was amazing the kind of stuff that God was doing. The teachers of my senior year asked if I would help and speak at the baccalaureate ceremony, which is kind of like a religious ceremony for graduation at the end of the kind of at the end of the year kind of deal. And I was honored that I got to share more about my faith and with God with in an official capacity, you know, because kind of underground Bible study kind of group is what we were doing. Had an impact on our football team, you know, put verses on my locker, and we would have like a team prayer, and like it was like a thing. Like God was using me and other students in our school to like make a difference for him. And I felt like even then God was working in my heart that someday I wanted to help work with teenagers because God had grabbed a hold of my life as a teenager and kind of wanted to give back to him. So tonight's topic is really important to me, is really a part of my story, if you will. And I feel like whether your story looks like mine or not, I don't care. I just want you to grab a hold of this, that God wants to use you to make an impact in the people around you. So here's our first thing tonight is this, impact. Impact your world courageously and reach out to serve and love others. And a lot of you are already doing that. You're already making a difference. You're already finding ways to serve and use your gifts and talents. And you're trying to love people and care about people and live differently. And that's awesome. And so maybe tonight will just be a huge encouragement to you, but hopefully a little bit of a challenge as well. All right, so here's the next part. If you're looking in your handout, there are two big things that in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are kind of capstones of sections of Scripture. And here are two of them I'm going to share with you tonight. The first one is the greatest commandment. There's a group of religious leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, two different groups that would challenge Jesus often. And in this particular instance, the Pharisees challenged Jesus with a question about what's the greatest commandment in the Bible. And they're trying to trap him to find a reason possibly to arrest him. And he says this. So somebody read that to us up on the screen. Somebody read that to us.
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Matthew 22:37-40.
Raise your hand if you've heard that verse before, or those verses before, okay? Maybe not new to you, right? All right, but you get this idea that even like a kindergartner can get this idea. God wants us to be about these two things, loving God and loving people. Super, super simple. You can wrap up all the Ten Commandments in this idea of loving God, loving people, right? So many of you have been trying to do that. You've been acting that way, trying to do that. Some of you are like, you know what? I haven't really been loving people. Or maybe, you know what? I haven't really given God any of my time or attention. All right, so Jesus says, you know what? Those are things that we need to be about. And that's a way that we can make an impact. All right, here's the next part. It's called the Great Commission. That when Jesus is about to leave planet Earth, he has some parting words with his disciples. In the last days leading up to him going back to heaven, he leaves his disciples with this challenge or this charge of what he wants them to be doing while he's gone. And it's found in Matthew 28. Would somebody read that for us? Somebody else?
Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
All right, raise your hand if you have heard that verse before about going and making disciples. Yeah? Okay, maybe not new to you. Here's the deal, though. Do you know what does it mean to make a disciple? You know what the word disciple means? It means learner. So if you're going to be an apprentice or a learner of somebody, you could be a disciple of a blacksmith. You could be an apprentice and learn how to be a blacksmith. You get the idea? You could be a disciple of many, many different things. In this culture, at this time, this was specifically talking about Jesus. So making followers of Jesus, how do you do that? Well, you got to open your mouth and share about God with your friends, right? And you don't just leave them. You don't just say, God loves you, and walk away. Like, it needs actions to be followed up. It needs care to be given. So building relationships with people who don't know God, building relationships with your friends, showing that you care and doing acts of kindness, that kind of thing. And then telling them about how God's changed your life or how he's worked in your life, what he's been doing in your life. Yeah? So here's an example that's coming up, right? The bonfire is coming up, right? So by the end of the night, I'm going to challenge you to think about some people you could invite to that, some people that maybe you could pray for that they might become disciples or followers of God too, all right? So here's the next part, serving. This whole idea of making an impact, it starts with these two ideas of serving and loving. This first part about serving, a lot of you guys have been serving. So raise your hand if you have served the church in some way, maybe on a ministry team or in a group. Maybe you helped out in the kids area or lighting or tech or something like that. Yeah, all right, I see a bunch of hands. Raise your hand if you've ever been on like a mission project and gone to a different city or town or country and tried to share your faith or help people over there in another country or in another area. Yep, cool. How about just loving people? Have you ever tried to do something? Like maybe any of you volunteer somewhere? It doesn't have to be religious, but maybe anybody volunteer and help? Is that a requirement at all for graduation? I know it was at some schools, but I'm not sure if it is for Hilliard. Yeah. But if you want to get into like things like National Honor Society or whatever, like don't you have to volunteer and do some community service? You want to get into a good college, it kind of helps if you've got like some of that on there. I'm not talking about just volunteering just on anything, but specifically doing some stuff with the intention of trying to show people God's love. So I know a lot of you have done that and been doing that, but I think serving is a big part of it. So would somebody read Philippians to us? I know that some of you have tried to memorize this one as well, right? So, Logan, can you break down Philippians 2?
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
All right, can you guys say that with me? Do nothing out of selfish ambition, or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Nice. All right, if you've been on one of our projects to Kalamazoo, you may have learned this little acronym about serving, okay? So I'm going to have, since these guys want to talk, I'm going to have them each take a letter, okay? Yeah. So Dawkins, you're going to start with S, okay? You're going to do serve one another in love, and we're going to repeat after you. Micah, you got the next one. You got E. Caleb, you've got R, okay? Drew, you've got V, okay? You got it? The letter V. You're going to say it, and we're going to repeat it after you, okay? And Kip, you've got the last E. Okay.
Serve one another in love.
Serve one another in love.
Everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
Rely on God's strength.
Rely on God's strength.
Value others more than yourself.
Value others more than yourself.
Express God's love in your actions.
All right. That was fabulous. That was fabulous. All right. All right, so have you served in one of these ways? Slip up your hand if you served in one of the ways up on the screen, whether it was in the church or in the community, in your workplace, neighborhood, school, or home, okay? Okay, put your hand down. Here's a tougher question. Do you just do one-time acts of service, or has serving others become a lifestyle for you? Are you with me? There's a difference between just showing up on a weekend and doing a project and then coming home. Versus living in a way that says, I'm going to treat others better than myself. I'm going to serve others and love them. So, you know what? I had a gut check today, and I had to do that. You know what I had to do? I was supposed to go to work at a certain time, and I wasn't able to because I decided it was more important to go grocery shopping with my wife and help her with the groceries and bring them back up and put them away because I needed to demonstrate what we're talking about tonight. You know, but you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to say, bye, go on your own, I got stuff to do, right? And it takes some sacrifice sometimes, and that's just a small amount of time, some sacrifice of your time. So you know what, I need to show my wife that I love her. And she wasn't feeling well today, and she wasn't, like, just having a tough time. And I'm like, you know what, I'll come with you. Let's just go and do it together, you know? Ever have a friend who's having a tough day, and they just need you to come along with them? You know, or maybe they just need you to listen, right? Or maybe you got a family member who actually really needs some help. And so what would it look like? Check this out. It's going to be tough. If you helped your brother or sister clean their room. Okay, you're like, Okay. Or maybe you do the dishes all week without complaining and just do it, even though maybe it's not your job. Okay. Or maybe you offer to cook a meal. Here's my point. My point is this. Sometimes you need to decide, hey, is this just what I'm going to do with a youth group, or am I actually going to live this and do it with my family and do it with my friends, you know? A little bit different, a little bit tougher to live out all the time. Or maybe you got a neighbor who needs the grass mowed, but instead of charging them $20, you do it for free because they're elderly and you just want to show some love, right? Right?
I agree.
Yeah. Do you guys remember a while back, I think Josh Guy and Mitchell were doing a lesson on sharing love, and they came over They mowed my neighbor's grass. They didn't marry the grass. That'd be weird. All right, my point is this, though, to be a person who's willing to give up a little bit of yourself to help others in the name of Jesus. All right, cool. All right, here's the second part, loving. Who would like to read our verse about loving others?
A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 3:13-35.
All right, so let me ask you. Would your friends know that you're a follower of Christ by the way that you love other people? Would they notice that you're different? I don't know. Sometimes with all the sarcasm and joking and just whatever, screwing around, I think it could get lost. You know, I think sometimes we could probably make it a little more clear that we care about people, you know? All right. Is it easier to like show kindness and care or sarcasm and disrespect? Yeah. Easy to screw around and be stupid, right? But I guess it's this idea of taking advantage and making the most of the opportunities you have with your friends. All right, so here we go. Some of you have been to Dare to Share. Some of you heard this before. This is basically Life in 6 Words, the gospel message, right? If you truly want to be a person who loves others, then at some point you need to open your mouth and share your faith with them, right? Remember we talked about if everybody's got a disease of the soul and you've got the cure, it would be inappropriate and selfish to never share the cure with those who are hurting around you, right? So we're going to repeat this a couple times with each other, right? Raise your hand if you've seen this before or know this before or have seen it. Remember Life in 6 Words? Remember the video with the propaganda? The African-American guy just kind of rocking it. This is his stuff, okay? So it goes like this. It says, say this with me. God, our sins paying everyone life. Okay, those are the six words, okay? Anyway, do you guys know what the word gospel means? Who knows what it means? Good news. It means good news. Okay. All right, so since Caleb wants to do that again, you guys are all going to get letters. G-O-S-P-E-L. Okay, you got it? Okay, go.
God created us to be with him.
God created us to be with him.
Our sins separate us from God.
Our sins separate us from God.
Sins cannot be removed by good deeds.
Sins cannot be removed by good deeds.
Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. That rhymes.
Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life.
Life that's eternal starts now and lasts forever.
All right, very good. All right, say it with me one last time. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God.
Our sins separate us from God.
Sins cannot be removed by good deeds.
Sins cannot be removed by good deeds.
Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again.
Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again.
Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life.
Life
that's eternal starts now and lasts forever. All right, you guys, we joke, but check this out. This isn't the Bible, but they're based on Bible verses, right? Verses like John 3:16 and Romans 3:23, that kind of thing. Here's the thing. It's just a simple tool for you to remember how you could share your faith with someone, okay? If someone's like, how do I become a Christian? How do I follow God? What does that even mean? This is a beginning point. Are you with me? Can I get a head nod, an amen, a thumbs up? Okay. Okay, good. All right, this one's for you, all right? It's right in your face. It's totally practical. It's this week, okay? It's the 3x3 bonfire challenge. It goes like this. You pick three friends to pray for three friends and invite three friends, the same three, okay? So right now, I seriously want you to do this, okay? In your handout, I want you to write three names of people that you would be willing to pray for and then invite to come to our bonfire, okay? All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray right now and ask God to bring some people to your mind, okay? And maybe you've already begun, and that's cool. But pray with me in case your paper's blank now and you're not sure. All right, so God, we just want to ask right now that you would bring to mind students that these guys could bring to the bonfire, that they could be praying for. Friends that don't know God, friends that don't know Christ, or maybe friends that are struggling and could use some connection. So God, I pray you bring people to mind by your spirit. I pray that you would help them have courage to reach out to them. But you would, God, I pray that they would pray for those friends and that those friends would respond and come next week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so give it 2 more minutes. Think about who are some friends you could bring, or even talk to the people at your table. Be like, hey, are there some people in the football team or the band or the choir or, you know, lacrosse or I don't know what you're into, okay? In your neighborhood, at your workplace, that you could invite. We're like, hey, what if a couple of us invited so-and-so from Chick-fil-A? What if a couple of us invited so-and-so from band? Or whatever, okay? All right, here's your deal, all right? In your life groups tonight, I want you to take time at the end and pray that God would give you courage to invite them to come, okay? Sweet. All right, here's the next part of what we were talking about, serving. We talked about loving, and together, check this out, you guys. If you don't have a place where you're serving and doing some type of ministry or trying to love other people, I would encourage you to find a place where you can use your gifts and talents, okay? Use the skills that God gave you. Maybe you start a band with the purpose of sharing God with people, maybe through your songs. Or maybe you start a Bible study at your school. Or maybe you grab the guys on your football team and you talk about faith and sports. Or maybe you grab some people in band and you talk about music and faith, okay? Maybe you get with people who do something in common and then give it a spiritual twist, okay? You got me? Or can I give you a real-life example? I don't know. A while back, how many of you guys know Dave Matheny? You guys know Dave? He does drama and stuff. Dave's a fun guy. Dave started a ministry for high school guys doing using video games. So he would invite guys over to play Halo at his house, and they would all put, you know, Link systems and do, like, projector screens on the wall, right? And use that as a way to connect with high school guys. And so it was not hard to get guys to show up to play Halo. Just wasn't hard at all, okay? Here's my point, though. Find something that you already do or are good at or that people are into, and then give it like a spiritual twist. If you play basketball, maybe you play some ball, and then at halftime, you share a little bit of faith about David Robinson, who used to play for the San Antonio Spurs, about his faith in God and sports, okay? Or maybe you pick another athlete who's following God in the culture right now. Maybe you pick a band to talk about if your group's into music and art or whatever. You get what I'm saying, though? It doesn't have to be like stuffy and churchy and here at the building. It can be in your home. It could be at a restaurant. It could be out on the field. It could be in the locker room. But my point is this. Do something. Do something. Figure out what is your sphere of influence. Do you know what I'm saying? Who are the people you normally hang with? And then who are some people you could reach out to? If you don't know anybody who doesn't know God, then maybe you need to branch out a little bit, okay? Are you with me? So, I mean, these are just some tips to view your campus as a mission field, as a place for you to reach out to. Can I be honest? We're going to show a video here at the end that's going to kind of affect you a little bit. We're like, oh, my, maybe I should take my time in high school or middle school more seriously. Because here's the truth of it. It doesn't last forever. High schoolers, you got 4 years if you're a freshman, 1 year if you're a senior, 8 months maybe, okay? Maybe you can't wait to get out the door, but what could you do to impact people before you go, right? Middle schoolers, you're only going to have 2 years in middle school, right? And then you're not going to have that experience anymore. And you may see those people, you may not see those people. But my point is this, God has you in a school, in a certain place, in a certain community, a certain time, on this certain space, on this planet, possibly so that you might be able to reach the people in your sphere of influence, you know? But it's going to take some courage. So I would encourage you to think of ways that you create a new way to connect with people. All right, what if we just brainstorm for a second? What is like a creative way? How can we connect with high school or middle school students and do something we haven't done before? What could you do at your school or at your house or in your neighborhood to like make a difference? Okay, a Bible study group at your home maybe, okay, with some neighborhood guys. What else? Frisbee golf? And then do what with it? Put a spiritual spin on it, okay? What else? A prayer before the game, sure. Maybe it's something small and you're like, you just put up like a verse about faith and sports on your locker. Or maybe it's you write a note to a friend at school who's having a hard time. And at the bottom, you write a little Bible reference that says God will give you hope. You know, just something to put yourself out there, you know? What do girls like to do? I don't know. Maybe you guys put together a girls' night and do something. Okay, sure. Little Bible text bomb verse to your friends. Cool. Yeah. All right, can I give you one more example of something a group did? A group of guys went paintballing at Easter time. Okay? They went paintballing at Easter time. They had friends that love paintball, so they went paintballing. At the end of the paintball thing, because it was Easter time, they decided to execute one member of the squad. They send this kid out to the thing, and they all pull up their guns to shoot this dude at the firing squad, okay? One of the other students volunteers to take his place, and then later they talk about how Christ took your place. And then they shoot the dude, for real, okay? So the dude gets lit up with paintballs. He suffers a little bit, you know, but they use it to talk about how Jesus made a sacrifice for you. So, all right, are you with me, though? Like, there are creative ways that you could reach out to your friends. I just urge you, guess what? Our youth group might not meet all your needs, and you might just need to go out into the world and do some things on your own for God, and maybe God's got something for you that's not here. Are you with me? Okay, fair enough. How many of you guys have heard the Bible verses about being salt and light? Some of you? Okay. What is salt? Something you put on French fries, it's a spice, a seasoning. Does it have some flavor to it? Yeah? Can you use it like as a preservative if you put it on some food so it'll last longer? Okay. Different uses for salt. All right. And then light. Obviously, we all know what that is, right? Why would God tell you to be salt and to be light? Well, let's take a look. Who would like to read that for us in Matthew?
You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Think about it to yourself. How salty are you? And I'm not talking about being full of attitude. Okay? Because I could point to some people in the room that are salty, like with attitude. But are you bringing flavor to the people around you? Do you make life more enjoyable? Do you make God more known? Are you being a light in a dark place? You picture, you've driven through the mountains before. You've driven in the dark. When you come, you can see a city glowing. You can see the lights coming off the buildings, right? Especially if you're out in the country, right? And sometimes you're like, I want to get away from the city. Other times you're like, wow, that's where I'm trying to get to, okay? Ever been on a plane at night? Look down. You can see like a whole city lit up. Yeah, it's crazy, right? God wants your life to shine like that. So how salty are you? How bright are you? Are you like a dim, flickering flame that's about to go out? Or are you like blazing like, you know, gasoline on fire for God? Are you with me? Well, it's kind of a gut question, you know, to think on. All right. All of that's going to take some courage. Don't you think? To be a light, to be salt, to make a difference, to serve, to love. You're going to have to give up yourself. You're going to have to surrender a little bit, and you're going to have to ask God for strength and for this, for courage. So here it is, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Words from God to Joshua. But I think they're applicable for us. If we're following God, he wants us to know that we need to be courageous for him as well. All right, you guys, I got a music video for you, and then we're gonna sing a song here at the end. I want to teach you a new song and sing one that you've done before as well, okay? This is a music video by a band called Nickelback, a secular band, probably not my favorite band, but this particular song, I think it's got good meaning, and the video itself, I think, is kind of thought-provoking, okay? So here's the deal. We all got a limited time on this earth, and you got a limited time to live for God. And your friends have a limited time in your life. So carpe diem, seize the day for Jesus now. You're not going to get these years in high school, middle school back. I would say, man, take advantage of the time that you've got now. We can't look around and see how much time each of us has. But I can tell you, if you're in high school, you're only going to be in it for 4 years, hopefully, and then you're done. So whether you're alive or not isn't the point. It's how much time you have contact with the people in your world. Does that make sense? So this is kind of thought-provoking. I mean, the guy at the beginning of the video, you know, someone saves his life. And then all of a sudden he can see this timer on everyone else, right? And then what does he do with it? Well, at the end, he ends up saving someone else's life, right? And then she, at the end, can see now this timer going on, right? Well, I don't know exactly the point of the band wrote the song, but I know it's got a great meaning for us to say, man, take advantage of the time that you have. You don't know how much time you have, so make the most of every opportunity that you've got for God. Cool? All right, would you pray with me, and then we're going to sing a song. God, we don't know how much time we've got, but I can sit here with my friends and say, you know what? I really do want to make a difference. I really do want to make an impact. And time is short. So God, would you help us as a youth group? Would you help us individually to make a difference for you? God, if we're not living right, would you help us to live right for you? If we're not serving, would you help us to get serving? If we're not loving others, would you help us to do that too? And God, would you loosen our mouth to speak your words, to share our faith with our friends? God, would you give us creative ideas and ways that we could go out from this place and into our world and make a difference in our friends' lives? God, we need you. We need you to give us courage. We need you to give us strength. We need you to give us perspective. And God, I pray that you would give these students motivation that you would just kindle a fire in their heart that is just burns bright for you, Jesus, that they could not sleep at night because they are so excited and passionate about trying to reach people for you. God, would you burden their hearts for their friends, and I pray that you would draw people to yourself through our youth group. God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.